You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Friday, welcome, All Marine Radio. That's right. Friday, what? The 8th of November. Since we're not going to be here on Sunday, happy birthday, motherfuckers. That's right. Marine Corps birthday, man. Yeah, the prom gone wrong, as I like to call it. It is a great looking spectacle that gets. That I think has got off the track since the first time they ever had one. So it is. It is a good time, though. I will say that. It's a straight up awesome time. So to all you. In fact, I'm going to Vegas. I just got fitted for my tux next week. Yeah. Colleen and I went down. Right? And they have all these, like they rent suits now. I guess people don't own suits anymore. So I walk in, you know, normally like a tux place, right? And there's like all these suits all over the place. So I'm talking to the girl, I'm like, why do you guys have so many suits? Like, I would expect more tuxedos. And I'm like, yeah, you know, tuxes aren't, you know, guys like to wear suits. And then here's the other thing. You know, like young guys, they wear, like, slender cut, like, down from the knee to the ankle, and they're, like, what we would call flutters, man. Yeah, they end, like, 2 inches from your ankle. Yeah, like, so she goes, and how do you want your, how do you want the break in your pants? And there's, like, pictures. I'm like, yeah, look, I don't even know what this is, man. Back when I was a young guy, I would, like, we used to look at dudes like that, and like, dude, where's the flood, man? Why are your pants so hot? And I guess cool guys do that now. So anyway, so yeah, I don't roll like that. So no, I went down and got fitted for my tux. Yeah, speaking in Las Vegas on the 14th. So fired up for that. And yeah, the prom gone wrong, man. So you have all these good looking young dudes, right, in their dress blue uniforms, looking awesome, waiting for an opportunity to do something wrong. And then you have what I call the accelerator for all that, and that is the women who are attracted to men like that, right? Exactly. who think, like, look at that dude and go, that he's Romeo. Okay, like, you've got problems, all right, if that's Romeo. And they do, but it's all right. they're attracted to Marines, and we love them for that. Okay, and so then what's awesome about the ball is, right, they go buy the prom dress that their mother never would have allowed them to purchase. Okay, yeah. When they went to their dances, yeah. So they show up and it is just like, oh my God, you bought that unsupervised, didn't you? And so you have these darling couples, right? And then the night begins, you know, and the night begins with our ceremony, right? And, you know, and it's pretty solemn and it's pretty cool if you've never seen it. And then it kind of degenerates from there. That's right. It's cool. And from there, it just gets worse. So, so yeah. Happy birthday, everybody. The Marine Corps. What birthday? 235? We'll have to play General Berger's birthday message. Sometime this morning. So let me just do Marine Corps birthday. The prom gone wrong. So what number is it? How old would the Marine Corps be in 2018? The Marine Corps was 244 in 2018. So in 2019, it's 245 years old. Happy 245th, man. The birthday message is 7 minutes and 58 seconds. That's a long birthday message. So we'll see what General Berger has to say here in a little bit. The, I had an awesome day, an awesome night last night. Went down to, Camp Pendleton. And did post-traumatic winning for half of the 1st Battalion of the 5th Marines, right? My old battalion. And it was awesome. And, you know, I'll tell you something. The it never ceases to amaze me. The people that come up to you, the Marines that come up to you, the sailors that come up to you, the spouses that come up to you, and I did it last night for spouses. And the stories they tell you. I got an email this morning. Not this morning. I mean, shit, it was like at 3 o'clock in the morning. From a Marine. Saying that, holy shit. Well, I'll read part of it to you. Right? Hey there, Mac. We met briefly today during one of your presentations to 1-5. I knew your son, John, while he was a platoon commander 1-7. Your presentation is fucking awesome, and I absolutely stand behind what you're doing. I want to help by sharing my story. I know my timing is bad as I'm out the door soon, but I'm sure we can figure something out. Captain Kincaid is my company commander, and I have to say he's fucking awesome. I've approached him recently on what's going on in my life, and he's been nothing but help. He's kept an open door with open ears and an open heart. I recently made great strides in fixing my family situation, which all started by fixing myself. Now my story. When I was 17, I experienced the worst week of my entire fucking life. During that week, I was put on probation, my own fucking fault, totaled my truck, watched my dad be brutally murdered by an armed robber, and received the news that my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, all within 1 week's time, 7 fucking days. I was broken, shattered, cataphucking-tonic. I love the way Marines put fucking in the middle of syllables, right? Like, unbe-fucking-leavable, right? It's my language, right? I go to it like, you know, a baby goes to his mother's breast. I go to that shit. And he goes on to talk about, and I'm going to bring him on, right? I'm going to bring him on, right? And he ends by talking about how his family situation has been repaired, how a guy he met changed his life. He's a veteran of the Army, and he had to do work release stuff, and this dude made him work and earn it. And after that, right, I ended up finishing school and enlisted in Marine Corps Infantry. And he talks about his infantry time in the infantry was no cakewalk either, right? So he walked up to me yesterday, you know, we were talking. And I knew he knew one of my sons because they were pointing at a picture that I put up. And he and another dude were talking. And for whatever reason, it caught my eye. And so, I mean, these emails, right? He wrote this last night. And so you're going to meet him. He's a staff sergeant. And another Marine comes up and says, hey, could I come back tomorrow and bring my friend? I said, fuck yeah, you can. And he told me a story about his friend whose wife was killed in an accident, right? And his friend, even though it wasn't his friend's fault, his friend feels incredibly guilty about it. And he said, I think if my friend saw this, I said, no, bring his ass. And then bring his ass to me. Right? Yesterday, Lance Corporal by the name of Wright stood up and introduced it. Right? He was on Liberty up in Huntington Beach and was, they had come back from drinking and, they were running across the street to go to McDonald's. And one of his friends got hit by a car and killed. And, you know, so he stood up for the first time in public and talked about it. And I met, his name's Jacob Wright. I met Jacob about a month ago at an event that, Richard Garcia put on. He's the head of the 1-9 Alumni Association. And, Ronnie Reyes took me to, or got me involved in. And so I met Lance Corporal Wright there. And he's a great young guy, right? And, you know, he stood up and he said, hey, I cannot get those images of that night out of my head. And he talked about, you know, about dealing with it. And he talked about Captain Kincaid, who I met here via this a few months ago. I met him in person yesterday for the first time. And he talked about listening to All Marine Radio and the things that he had heard and how it had impacted him. And so that he wanted to come and share his story. And then he tells the story. Right, and again, that's that first table flipping moment, right, of the day when everybody who does not want to fucking be there, right, says, holy shit, what have I gotten into? What is this? So, I mean, but you see this stuff happening, you know, for the first time. The OPSO, right, he's a major named Lafayette, he stood up, right, and he talks about, you know, some of the family stuff that he's gone through with his youngest daughter, right? And they're physical things. But they've never talked about this stuff in public before. They rarely talk about it with friends. And you see this incredible pain that people walk around with, right? And so for me, it's now I know how important that is to their life. They will look back on yesterday and say, yeah, my life changed that day. What happened? Well, what happened was I publicly told my story. And I watched the impact it had on other people. People I had no idea had the same shit in their life, who then began to come up to me. And it is, again, it is incredible to watch it. And I'll go down and do it again today. And the same thing will happen. Right. I had another Marine comes up to me, and goes, hey, sir, what do I do with somebody who says they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to talk about it. And it's just destroying them. And I said, you just seed plant. It starts with, hey, man, I went to the coolest thing yesterday. You know, I did, totally expected to be a piece of shit, and oh, my God. You know, if you, I'd love to tell you about it, right? But let me just send you a video to watch. I said, you just start with that, man. Just start chumming the water. But, you know, you're not going to push it on them. You're not going to push it on them. And I promise you, though, look, they want to deal with this thing. They don't know how, and everything that people tell them is bullshit, right? Everything, you know, and I go back to Matt Kuiker. You know, if you listen to the interview with Matt Kuiker that we did, you know, he says, one of the things that made me believe you and know that I could trust you was when I looked at you and said, well, does it ever stop hurting? And you said, no, it doesn't. He said, I knew you were telling me the truth. I knew in my heart you were, and I knew that that I could listen to you and probably trust you. And so, you know, all of a sudden when we stop faking it, right, and people start telling the truth, honestly, I mean, the effect is magical. It's all, and I don't know, this visual just came into my head, but it's almost like there's this wall, right, and it's holding this shit back. And it's in everybody. I mean, the number of people that don't have significant trauma in their life by the time they're in their 20s is relatively small, right? And, I mean, they come from good families. There's two parent. You know, I was talking after the thing, you know. You know, somebody told me, you know, 99% of Marines I have that struggle, they don't come from two-parent families. And I don't mean he said they're not bad Marines. Right? They're not bad Marines. But they've grown up with, you know, without a lot of the things that people who grow up in two-parent families, you know, take for granted. And I talk about, you know, seeing Kyle Carpenter's book, you know. And one of the headlines I read was, you know, he says, you know, things that you should do more. Talk to your mom. What about the people who don't have moms? Like, who do we talk to? Like, it's cool if you're Leave It to Beaver, man, but most of us don't live Leave It to Beaver. And so, I mean, it's just, it is so incredible to watch this happen. And I love it. I sit off to the side and watch the start of this thing, and it'll happen again today. And, they'll be better at it. Maybe they might struggle with it more. Yeah, because, again, I always say it depends where I am in my trauma menstrual cycle. I have no idea where that motherfucker is on a daily basis. And some days I can do it. Some days I struggle. I mean, I have to stop all the time. And I put my finger up in the air like, hold on. But I don't feel, you know, I never feel bad about it because of what my gunny told me, right, that I wasn't going to get over it. So, and I can hear all those voices in my head. But I see the magical effect that it has on people. I had another Marine come up to me and just shake my head. So he walked up. He goes, hey Mac, this is incredible. I've never seen like it. He said, you're right. I and all my friends, we walked in here hating this. We're gonna have to do what? He said, and it was awesome, man. I just want to thank you. And so, and then last night with spouses, and I always say spouses, they get it. They know we're faking it, right? And they get it from the start. But what's so interesting about spouses is they want to help so much, right? And, you know, I had Allison record something. Maybe I should play that for you. Maybe I should play what Allison recorded. I'll play that here in a second. Well, yeah, I'll play it, and then I'll comment on the backside of it. But Allison saw post-traumatic winning at Camp Lejeune. She saw it again at Cornerstone. She's the subject of an interview. And so I called her day before yesterday. I said, hey, could you record something for me? She said, yeah, sure. So Allison records the thing that she does. She said about 2 weeks ago when she introduced it in person, to the One Meth Information Group spouses. And I said, I'll give you a call and then, we'll record it so I can play it tomorrow, last night. And so she did. So let me find this thing. And so but as I say, you watch this thing and you watch their own growth. And here's Allison. This is pretty cool.
Hello, my name is Allison. I first heard this presentation on post-traumatic winning with Mac 8 months ago at the USO in Jacksonville, North Carolina, where Camp Lejeune is. A few weeks after hearing that presentation, and after a heart-to-heart with my husband, which I will circle back around to, I did a podcast interview with Mac and my friend Berta on the impact that that first presentation had on us as spouses. And then later on, I had the privilege to see and hear this presentation again with my husband at the Cornerstone Conference in Quantico, Virginia. A few weeks ago, I got to participate in introducing Mac to a group of spouses with the MEF Information Group. And I want to welcome you as well this evening to this presentation of Post-Traumatic Winning for Spouses. You are in for a treat, so to speak. For me, the truth about...
I love that, right? You're in for a treat, so to speak. So that made me laugh when she did that.
Post-traumatic winning is that it speaks quite powerfully to the power of authentic and vulnerable storytelling. And it also speaks to the importance of both larger community and also one-on-one intimacy. Post-traumatic winning challenges us to share our stories of trauma honestly, not only just with the ones that we love and trust the most, but when it's relevant and important with complete and total strangers. The truth is we all have trauma, all of us. We don't experience it life in a vacuum. No one's going to get out of this without experiencing some type of hurt or pain. In sharing our trauma stories with others, we lighten this burden on our own shoulders. We grow closer to the people who already love us, and we give others, sometimes perfect strangers, permission to tell their stories. Post-traumatic winning tells us that we must explicitly tell our loved ones that it is safe for them to share their stories with us and that they don't need to be alone in your pain. When I came back home from the first presentation that I watched, I sat down next to my husband, looked at him square in the eyes, started the conversation with, I'm probably not going to use the right language, but bear with me while I talk to you about this presentation I saw and how important it is that I think you start to tell me your stories. And my husband is the type of Marine that he's already an introvert, so he doesn't share to begin with. But he also is, he's a Marine. He adores. He wants to spare us from hearing his stories. The truth is his stories aren't just combat stories. He's been deployed 4 times, but he's also got life stories and life trauma that have nothing to do with him being a Marine. And I looked him square in the face and said, you're done. You don't get a free pass anymore, buddy. It's your turn to share. I've had my own share of trauma in life. I have shared all of that with you. You have walked with me through all of that. And now it's your turn. And you don't get to have that free ride anymore. He was not pleased. And it took him 3 hours of conversation for us to finally settle on an agreement that, yes, he understood what I was saying to him and that it was time for him to start talking too. He has shared post-traumatic winning with his mother, and his mother has shared it with his sister. I've shared it with a social worker friend, and I think at the heart of this event tonight, what you will learn is that keeping your trauma hidden will do nothing damaged to you. And allowing your loved one the opportunity to share their trauma with you will create a stronger intimacy with one another and will let them know that we are capable of loving them through their stories of trauma, just like they are capable of loving us through our own. Have a good evening.
How about that? Allison just crushing it. You know, but And again, what's powerful about that? It's just, and so when people get ready to do this, they'll say, well, what do you want me to say? I said, here's what I say. Tell the truth. Right? Tell the truth. Talk about where you were. Talk about what happened to you. Just tell the truth. And then I get out of the way and they let it rip. And it's incredible to watch it. And as I said, there's a dam that everywhere I go is built. And that is the dam that keeps people from telling the truth. That is the dam that holds back people from being honest. And in that prison, behind that dam, in that prison, right? In addition to holding back all that emotion, you know, you sit in, there's only solitary confinement cells there. There is no general population, right? Because you're in that prison. So it is pretty cool to watch that. And that's such an understatement. And, you know, the other cool part of yesterday was, you know, I got to meet, you know, Captain Kincaid, Keegan. And Keegan is, he's been a disciple of post-traumatic winning, for a while. And, you know, he's the one that helped Lance Corporal Wright. And, you know, and it's so cool. And I looked at him last night after the spouse thing as we were leaving. I got a chance to meet his significant other who also listens, and which is cool. And I got a chance to meet her and talk to her. And you hear people's stories, right? Right? And then the impact, right, that this thing has, which is so about the truth and so about transformation and so about touching somebody else. Because endurance is bullshit, right? Endurance is a dead end, dark place that sucks. And if that's as good as it gets, fuck that, right? And that's the attitude of post-traumatic winning. And that attitude comes from Marines, not the Marine Corps, man. Right? Mother Marine Corps, pff, okay? Marines, boom. That's where that attitude comes from. And so you meet people that see this. Some have listened to some of it. Others have heard a little bit about it because now after a year, word has kind of seeped around that it's not the shittiest thing you'll ever go participate in. Right? So as we were leaving last night, I looked at Keegan and I said, do you know what you did today? And he looked at me and, you know, he's very gracious, and he said, no, it's what you did. I said, no, man, this does not happen without your advocacy. And you're going to change people's lives. Right? You are going to change people's lives. I said, nice going. And no, they are just absolutely magical days in my life. So very cool. And then again, get a chance to go do it again today. The Las Vegas Fire Department going to show up and look at it. And hopefully I'll have a chance to go up there and help them. And I've had that in my head, right? Can you imagine if you can give firefighters a tool that instead of just tending to somebody physically, right, that they can say, hey, when you get a chance, right, go to our website and look for a thing called post-traumatic winning that's on our website. It will help you. That's all. I don't even know if they'd ever be able to say something like that because, I don't know, legal things. And I'm sure people will think of a reason not to be able to say it. But if you, even individually as a firefighter, maybe you go to high schools and you give a version of post-traumatic winning that we produce, you know, and you can transform the lives of young people. You can transform the lives of people in general. But which is cool, right? But the medicinal effect the transformational effect that would have on giving meaning to the pain that they endure every day. The same thing. I have a friend, you know, I'm driving down to Camp Pendleton, and I screwed it up yesterday. I had it in my head that the thing at night started at 6 and it started at 5. Exactly. Nice going, shit for brains. So anyway, I came home. The thing in the morning lasted long, right? And then I hung out afterwards to talk. And so I get home, and I wanted to record this thing with Allison to play it for the spouses last night. So I'm driving back down to Pendleton. I get a phone call from a corporal, Smitty, right? Corporal Smith, who I worked with in Quantico. He was assigned to the tactics group. And I think IOC, too, although I'm not sure. I think it was IOC. But anyway, so Smitty squared away dude, became a detective in New Jersey. And he's a squared away guy. And so he calls me, and he said, hey, man, do you mind if I give your number to a friend of mine who's a good dude? And, you know, he said, I don't know if you read the stories, but I said, I do. I said, give him my number, man. I can help, and I want to help. Okay. And so he and I are talking. I said, Smitty, could you imagine if in the course of a police officer's life and who experiences stuff on a daily / weekly basis, if you had a way to help people, if you had a tool that you could give people. So, if you can do that, right, you can change people's lives. And so it's not just getting, like in my life, it's not just getting your head just stuffed under the water over and over and trying to swim before you drown, right? It is, yeah, that's in my life. But on a regular basis, I touch people's lives and I transform their lives. And so, yeah, that stuff is hard. You know, and this job is not the easiest job in the world, but because I can transform people, that's how I give this job meaning, right? To protect and to serve, right? To be a guardian. And now I'm a guardian, not just for them physically. I can help be, right, a guardian for them emotionally, right, as they deal with the aftermath of whatever they've encountered. I mean, what an incredible tool, right, to give the first responders. Right. So anyway, so Smitty calls me out of the blue and we're talking. And then at the end of the conversation, he goes, I'm so fired up right now. I said, you should be, man, because the other thing is that it comes with data now. Right. It comes with data. Anyway, good morning to you on Friday. Whitney Houston, since it is Friday, sings the national anthem, and good morning to you.
Ooh.
Friday. The chef's going to join us today. So we'll talk a little. I have some emails that I got, so we'll do that with him. And I got to get out of here. So recorded part of this today. And but this dedicated to the Marines and the spouses of the 1st Battalion of the 5th Marine Regiment. Yesterday was awesome, right? And I do this a lot. And it was as fulfilling as any time I've ever done it. It was awesome. And I met people yesterday that are dealing with it. And all of a sudden, you know, like that. If you haven't seen the video that I put up on the website, watch that. And because, no shit, what happened yesterday is the actual incarnation, right, of the video, of the video that, that is on, the website. All right. And, if you look at the video, right, it's the little plane flying through the storm, and then the plane goes through the clouds, and then the plane gets on the other side of the clouds, and it's beautiful up there. But to watch it, you know, to watch it on a regular basis, never, ever, ever gets old. It is, they're magical days in my life. And, you know, in the conversations that you have, you know, people trying to help themselves, people trying to help each other, people trying to deal with, you know, this terrible pain that they have inside and emptiness of losing your father, right? And how devastating that can be. And so, you know, so it's just, they're awesome days because hopefully what you're doing is showing people that there's a place that you can go, right? That's beautiful, but it involves giving. And for whatever reason, that appeals to human beings very naturally, right? Very naturally. And especially people that are prone to service. And the women, the spouses, men or women that are attracted to people that are prone to service. This tribe that we have, right, is it's a beautiful, crazy tribe, and it's wonderful. So this is dedicated to the people I met last night, right, who are looking to do good things in life, who are looking to do positive things in life. And so my challenge to everybody from yesterday is to go change somebody's life, to give of yourself, and to do that as often as you can. And if you will do that, right, you will change your life in the most profound way possible. So just dedicated to everybody I met yesterday.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
And one other thing, Jack Riley is the shit, man. I love that dude. I got to get my dumb ass to Alabama here pretty soon. I got to meet Libby, Tsunami Woman. And Libby, in short order, is going to be part of Post-Traumatic Winning. Her voice is going to be part of it. And I got to meet Jack Riley in person. Time to check weather. Now, just so you know, normally you'd be hearing this at about 8:47 Pacific time and adjust that wherever. Well, it's 3 hours, it's 3 hours earlier because I got to record the chef after this, and then I got to get on the road and go down and meet the guy from Aaron from the Las Vegas Fire Department, and then, you know, get to get to Camp Pendleton right between 8 and 8:30. So, yeah. So, old Mac burning the midnight oil. Actually, it's early morning oil. That's what oil I'm burning. So, we'll check the weather, but know that, and I say that because the temperatures are going to be a little bit different, a little bit colder. Currently in Quantico, partly sunny and 39. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, cloudy and 52, 29 Palms. It is dark, clear, and 55 at Camp Pendleton. Dark, cloudy, and 54 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark, cloudy, 73 in Okinawa. Dark, cloudy, and 70. Further to the west in Lashkar Gah in Afghanistan, it is dark, clear, and 59. And in Ramadi, late in the afternoon, it is sunny and 78. So beautiful day in beautiful moderate day in the Al Anbar province of Iraq. Currently here in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is foggy and 56. Looking for a high today of 84 degrees, 85 tomorrow, and then 77 on Sunday. So that is a look at your weather. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. The chef's going to join us today on a very cool Friday, right? Well, we got to play the Commandant's birthday message, too. So what the hell? So don't touch that dial. More of Bombing Radio coming up right here on a Friday edition, a birthday edition, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd. I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
The initial bumper. All right. Here's Peyton Davis. She normally does this. All right. She's not being replaced.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Sometimes I get caught listening to this. I love, if you've listened to me talk about this song, I love the harmonies in addition to the lyrics. Huh? And Peyton's a post-traumatic winner, man. She goes around the country, she'll drop me a text message every once in a while. Mac, you'll never believe what happened to me. What? No. Father took his life when, if you've never heard me talk about it, you don't know about Peyton, when she was a junior in high school. She took the police to his apartment when he didn't respond. I want her to rewrite these lyrics. I know it's just me alone on this earth. I want her to drop the word ain't in there. I mean, it is country music after all. I know it ain't just me alone on this earth. Alright, we're going to do a little bit of news, not very much, but what I want you to hear is, I want you to hear the Commandant of the Marine Corps' birthday message, General Berger. Now, I have to tell you this. I'm kind of curious to see this, because General Berger is a pretty quiet guy. All right. So his role as, right, cheerleader-in-chief, right, it'll be interesting to see how he assumes that, because he's a pretty reserved guy. So here is the 2019 Marine Corps birthday message. It's a city at night.
Coming up, speaking of coming up, the sun's going to be coming up here in about another 5 minutes or so.
City waking up.
V-22 aircraft.
schedule if and when the order comes.
Every Marine trains, prepares 24/7 to get the phone call in the middle of the night that your unit's deploying. The phone call you weren't expecting, but you're ready for.
Marines running across the flight deck, getting in Ospreys.
Marines win as a team. It's a team sport. We get there, fight, sustain, advance, and win as a team.
Did you hear that clicking? That's the sound of rifles, right? Coming off safe, bolts going home, right? I love those noises, man. They're coming out of the back of the Osprey. I'm getting fired up. Sound of freedom, baby!
There's so much planning, so much detail that goes into a night raid or an amphibious landing. So many things can go wrong. There's a lot of complexity to a night patrol with a platoon of Marines in tough terrain.
I couldn't even describe the amount of adrenaline rush that it takes. It hits your body, and it's like a light switch. And as soon as the light turns on, you just go. And it really boils back down to the basics of that whole team concept, though.
Staff Sergeant Brenave of, I think, Rittenberg, he's a Navy Cross recipient. From Fallujah in 2004.
Because you've trained, you've done it so many times that it's just automatic. That muscle memory hits. And it's the whole concept of shoot, move, communicate as a team.
It's not an easy task to launch out of the back of a Navy ship and move towards land. Knowing Marines would be the first one to put feet ashore and secure the beach.
We go back to our guys, start prepping our gear, do PCCs, PCIs, make sure everybody's on the same page. That way when we get off the bird and our first step, it's game time from there.
We've done it before, and we'll continue to do it.
Yeah, it was video of a Marine shooting artillery on Iwo Jima.
But we must be able to do it from the sea. The sea is where we will launch from, maneuver from, and recover to. We have a lot of innovation and a lot of technology in the Marine Corps.
But at the end of the day, the centerpiece for the Marine Corps is some small unit. That part is the focus. That is why we exist.
There's one thing, especially being an infantry unit leader, is the fact that there's so many things going on in what we call the controlled chaos of combat. And without having good squad leaders to be able to call in the medevac, to be able to call for fire, and to know that your front's covered in all angles because the team's there and making sure that the job's getting done.
A really good operational unit is silent when they're moving. No voice commands. Just Marines moving quietly, slowly, no talking.
When it comes down to it, technologies have changed, but the fundamentals of warfare remain the same. Once we hit the deck, it's all about squad leaders and platoon sergeants assessing the situation and adapting to it, just like it has been throughout our entire history.
Implicit communications, sensing the Marine to the left and to the right, knowing where each member of the squad is and where they need to be, like a finely tuned machine, successes and failures, and the piece that makes us know our lives are safe in the hands of others is trust. We trust our fellow Marines and sailors implicitly. We know they are trained, prepared, willing to put it all on the line when the situation calls for it, in combat, in garrison, and at home. Without trust and cohesion, a platoon doesn't exist. The unit doesn't exist. The Corps doesn't exist. I trust my life to each and every Marine who has ever earned the title U.S. Marine.
I'll tell you, some of the best Marines I had in Vietnam were corpsmen.
Gunnery Sergeant John Smith, a Vietnam veteran.
They're not sailors or medics. They're corpsmen. And they love the Marine Corps.
When I got off that trip...
Gunnery Sergeant David Pauling, United States Marine Corps, retired, World War II and Korea veteran.
Train. And it was a train that I got off first. And that gunnery sergeant started yelling at me, okay? He lit a fire in me. And the day that I left boot camp, and he put a metal emblem in my hand and squeezed my hand until it bled.
He's in his 90s getting emotional about the day that his gunnery sergeant handed him an Eagle, Globe, and Anchor.
That still makes a difference for me.
It is with honor, courage, and commitment that we stand in the face of adversity with unwavering resolve. There is no better friend, no worse enemy, because it does not matter how bruised or battered we refuse to face. To be always faithful. In times of chaos or peace, we willingly pay its price because freedom is not free. And faith in something greater than ourselves, we stand boldly, determined to make a difference, to make our presence felt. And to this cause, we dedicate our very lives. This title, etched on our hearts until the day we die, we are once and forever United States Marines.
As a leader, you know, we were talking about life and death, right? If they believe in you.
This is Sergeant Major John Canley, who you hear every day on All Marine Radio, his blurb.
And if they believe that you are going to take care of them, you're concerned about their welfare, they're going to respond to you in any situation.
One devil dog to the next.
This is Major John Hughes, who fought in World War II as a United States Marine.
Happy birthday.
He's 100 years old.
Hoorah!
Once a Marine, always a Marine is not just a slogan. Here's to 244 years of success with the Corps.
We still carry the torch for that person who wore the uniform over 240 years ago.
Happy birthday, Marines.
There you have it. 244 years old. United States Marine Corps. I think I said 245 earlier. I was wrong. I didn't think that's what it said. So sorry about that. Anyway, we'll take a break. The chef joins us. No time for the news today, right? It's always there. You know where to find it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.